All right, quickly, let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. Today will be a continuation of what we have been studying. The book of Romans chapter 12. We've been talking about the life of purpose. We have explained again and again that God has a purpose for our lives. There was a reason why we were born. God created us for a purpose. We didn't come to this life by chance. And that if we don't discover or realize that life is really going to be meaningless, and whether we like it or not, since we did not create human beings, you did not make yourself, God made you. There's a way He made you to be, and if you don't conform with what He said you should be, later on you will discover the malfunctioning, let me use that word, of your spirit and your soul, and consequently your body also. I explained as a principle that even though you may not like vitamins and minerals, you have to eat them. And if you said, look, I don't like them, I don't want to eat them, you only discover sickness in your system because you didn't make the system. Therefore, you can't just make your rule about it. And the same way, because you didn't make your life, God made you. You cannot make your rule about your life. You have to discover the rule that God made about life before you were born. So let's read from the book of Romans chapter 12. I read from verse 3, it said, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Members of one another. In verse 6, it says that, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I like the New American Standard there. Today I'm reading the New King James. But the New American Standard says, let us exercise them accordingly. I like that so much. It said, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to each one of us, let each exercise his gift accordingly. New King James says, let us use them. All right, it says, if it is prophecy, let us prophesy in accordance or in proportion to our faith. And that same principle applies with every other thing. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, use it also in teaching, and teach according to the proportion of your faith. And he who gives should give with liberality. Exercise himself in giving, and give according to the measure of the faith that he has. And he says the same thing, for he who leads, he should do with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now today I want to continue what we have been saying about the life of purpose. And up to now we have seen many things which I just recapped in a few moments ago. I don't want to go over those things again. But I want to lay emphasis on this issue, like we started the last time, about discovering your own gifts and using them. Do you understand my point? There's something I should say to us again, which I taught some time ago, and that's the fact that God has a threefold purpose in the life of every believer. Can I hear that? Say threefold. Yes. That is, there are three things, there are three aspects that God is looking at life from, or that's three things that God wants to do in your life. Number one, there's what He wants to do in you, all right? That is, God has something that He wants to do inside you. There is what He wants to do in the body of Christ through you. And then number three, there is what He wants to do on the earth, in the world, through you. That is, it's not just what He wants to do in you, but let me just say it again. That is the one that is most important. And please, let's get this clear. I said something to us last time, that God, there's an order you find from Genesis chapter 1. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And then, they said, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, now, what I want to bring out here is this. You will see that God seemed to take life out. I mean, we approach life from what Oswald Chambers would call a point of cataclysm. I hope the English is not too much. All right, that is, you step into life, and there is disorder. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is, it seems like things start from that point of disorder. And I believe that that was written so as to give us a perspective concerning what life is supposed to be. And now you see, the first thing that God did was to do what? Create a solution. He said, there is darkness. So He said, let there be light. And when He said, let there be light, He began to walk. Now the light came forth, and then he began to walk to bring forth order into his life, to this life. Now, what am I trying to bring out? And when he created everybody, again, just like he said, let there be life. Let us assume your name is, okay, my name is Banky, all right? Let's assume your name is Uche. He says, let there be Uche. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, let there be Uche is not because he has nothing else to do and he just wants to create, but rather because he looked, are you following the point? And saw that there was darkness, and he created a kind of light for that darkness that was there, and he gave that light Uche. I don't know whether I get the point. Is that clear to you? If it's clear, say amen. All right. Now, so, therefore he looked and said, there is a kind of darkness, and it is springing up from maybe somewhere in eastern Nigeria. You get what I'm trying to say? And he said, let there be Banky. Do you follow my point? And what does that mean? That is a light I want to use to disperse that darkness. I encapsulate it into a flesh. Let me say this again. Concerning Jesus, he was said, a body thou hast prepared for me. He says, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired. You know what it means to prepare a body? I mean, it's like maybe you are waiting, maybe your wife traveled or you are just getting married. Yeah, that's a good one. And then you prepare a house that the wife is going to come to. Do you get what I'm trying to say? A body thou hast prepared. That is, before that body was formed, there was something that was being prepared for. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And it says, because there is a problem, sacrifice and meal offerings I don't desire. The solution I have, all right, to that problem is called Jesus Christ. Therefore, I form a body. Do you get what I'm saying? Therefore, I do what? I form a body and I put that Christ inside that body. Therefore, the light that was going to be used, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. What does that mean? When God saw the sin of the world, that it needs to be taken away, therefore he said, let there be light. This time around, he said, let there be Christ Jesus. Because we are going to have that solution, therefore a body was made for that Christ Jesus. Do you follow the point I'm making? Do you follow what I'm saying? So his appearing makes a lot of statements. Your appearing is making a bold statement that there was darkness and that God created light, and that light is called you. Should I prove it further? Jesus said, you are what? What did Jesus say? Say it loud. You are the light of the world. It's obvious I'm telling the truth. That is, before you were born, there was a problem. And that's how life is approached. That's why when somebody is campaigning, nobody campaigns and says, you see, this nation is so good. In fact, I want to come and become your president or your governor so that the nation can just remain good. Have you ever heard that kind of campaign? No. What they would say, that this is a potentially great nation, but we have problems in this area, this area, this area. Therefore, Barack Obama went everywhere saying that what America needed was change. Change that we can believe in. He said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Everybody was shouting, yes, we can. Because they said they wanted something new. That the old brigade led them into crisis, led them into several wars. They had enemies everywhere. The old brigade wasn't showing respect to the rest of the nations of the earth. We need something new. Barack Obama was supposed to be what? Something new. A solution to the problem of the former days. Do you understand my point? Listen, even in the most prosperous nations on the earth, that is because of the way God designed the earth to be. Nobody campaigns for an election without identifying problems he wants to solve. Even if he can't find, he will manufacture. Do you understand my point? But the fact is that there will always be problems. Until the reign of Christ, there will always be problems. There will always, in fact, if there's no problem on this earth, there's no reason why women are still giving birth to children. Because that is the design of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, you are a light. There is something inside you. There's darkness in the world, and you are the light to somebody's darkness. You are the light to a particular kind of darkness. I always say, there are things that my children won't have if you don't manifest. I don't know whether you get the point. There are things that I won't have as a person if somebody else doesn't manifest. Look, my name is Pastor Banky, right? That's what everybody calls me. I cannot invent a car. I can't manufacture one. I don't sew clothes. What I'm saying is clear. I don't make clothes. I don't repair cars. I mean, I don't bake bread. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I don't make tires. I don't even print Bibles. Somebody else has to do that. Are you getting my point? That is a light. I mean, without those things, there will be darkness in my life. You don't know the amount of darkness we're having to go through. Believe me, that every day that something doesn't work properly in your life or in your environment, that is what is called what? Darkness. And I'm saying there is a light inside somebody that God created to come and solve that problem. And this is the interesting part. Don't think that if the man doesn't manifest, don't worry. Everything will just be all right. Listen, God has to create another person, put light in somebody else, and send the person. And time often passes. The impression we have a lot of times is that God has such inexhaustible resources. Therefore, anytime he needs somebody, he'll just catch somebody and make somebody go. It's not true. You want me to prove it to you? The Bible says at the point that God looked and said, I looked for a man and I didn't find any. I wanted somebody to stand between me, all right, and these people so that I don't pour my wrath upon them, but I didn't find. If you pray like this, sometimes people think that what he has said, that God is not powerful. Really, believe me, he is very, very powerful. But the way he has made it, there are times he looks for people. There was a time Isaiah passed by the courts of heaven and he heard God say, who shall we send? Who shall go for us? You get what I'm saying? Then he quickly shouted, here I am, send me. Look, God is not a joker. He doesn't make home movies. I hope you understand my point. Don't think he just did it in such a manner that so that he can do the film, so that you know how Isaiah came into the scene. No. What you saw is the reality. That is, every day, God is still asking questions in certain areas. Who shall we send? Who shall go for us? That's why you hear many are called. What does that mean? There are people that have potentials that can go. Now, not everybody can be sent on certain assignments. But amongst the people that he made to be able to go, he now calls to them and says, who shall we send? Who shall go for us? Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, the whole of Egypt will have starved. The whole of the rest of the world, they will have starved if Joseph did not go into Egypt. You are going to say that, okay, when did God call him and when did they agree to go? I will say this to you again. God calls people every day. What I mean is this. He doesn't always shout. There was a scripture I read the other day. Please quickly open your Bibles to Psalm 16. The book of Psalms chapter 16. Don't close the one we are in. Romans chapter 12. There's just something I want to read from Psalm 16. To let you know that God calls people. I want to read from verse 5. Please, open your heart so that you will get what I want to say. From verse 5, it says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. He said, the lines are falling to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. My emphasis is verse 7. He said, I will bless the Lord who has given me what? Counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Let me just stop there. There's something I want to bring out. I read this at the New American Standard. There's a way it was rendered there. Very beautiful. But this is the point. What did I hear? Maybe it was the Holy Spirit that opened it up to me anyway. What did I hear here that struck me? That he said that the Lord, he said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Are you getting my point? How did God give him counsel? He said, my reins or my heart, New America and New King James says, instructs me in the night seasons. Now, this is the light I got from there. And that's the fact I said that the Lord instructs me, all right, in the night seasons. No, he said that the Lord has given me counsel. How did the Lord do it? He did it by instructing me through my heart, that is my meditations at night. There's something he said. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. That is, as a child of God, when I set the Lord always before me, that is, he is my standard. The word of God is what is most important to me. What does God do? Every day I rise, every day I sleep, God gives me ideas. Thoughts come to my mind. Are you getting my point? I said something, if you're going to read that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. That is the way life is. Every time you get to a particular point, God will tell you, choose the left or choose the right. That life, not even God, life makes a demand. Say something or do something. And usually you have only one or two. You may think you have 10 things to do. But the truth is that you have only one of two things to do. Not one or two. I mean, you have to do one out of two. You only have two options. That's the way it is. You know, sometimes people think that, oh, what you are saying is that maybe I can make a choice out of seven. Let's assume that I'm working somewhere now, all right? And then suddenly I get another option. Or I have like four different offers. Actually, the question usually is, do I go and not go? It's not which one should I choose. I don't know whether I get my point. That's usually the way it goes. And then what a Christian, all right, makes his decisions based on, because this is just by the way, I know I'm digressing, but I'm trying to bring out the fact that God calls people, all right? God calls people all the time. And so, and what I'm trying to say is that the way by which God calls is what I'm bringing from this Psalm 16. It's not every time you wake up at night and the angel will just shout, Samuel, Samuel, here I am, Lord, speak thy servant listeneth. Sometimes it does that. Other times, what happens is that issues come up in life and you start thinking, and God starts leading you in the path of righteousness. Do you get the point? And then, how does he do that? You use the right thoughts, the right principles of God to make the right decisions. I was giving an example. So, this is one thing about people sometimes. Now, the man wants to leave this job. He wants to go to another one. He quickly forgets, do you understand, that he signed a contract for 3 years. I don't know whether you get the point. All he's remembering is that the pay here is higher. You know, this, again, I'm digressing, but you learn something. There's something that my wife and I discussed a few days ago. Now, if you have this experience, if you've hired people to work in your home, like domestic help, what I mean is that, like now, there's a woman that comes to my house, works Saturdays to Fridays. That's it, Saturdays. Mondays to Fridays, all right? 5 days of the week. And she works from morning to like 4:35. And then, you know, what she does is essentially, all she does essentially is what? Babysit and do a bit of cleaning. Now, you know what I'm trying to say? All right. Now, there's a principle. Whatever people are paid, all right? They say this is the going rate. I tell my wife, if the going rate, in my opinion, is too low, all right? I won't pay that rate. Are you getting my point? At least the least you can do is pay what government calls minimum wage. That's what I think. If I remember a friend of mine once, he told me how much he was paying for somewhere like that I was working for. And that was many years ago. When he told me, I told him simply, oh boy, that's very bad. He said, that's a going rate. I said, forget the going rate. Does it make sense that somebody will work for you, all right? Monday, I think it's maybe to Friday or Saturday, and you pay him or her this amount of money at the end of the month? I said, for goodness, it doesn't make sense. I don't care what the going rate is. The point is that it doesn't make sense. So I try to observe that, all right? Now, but there's something I noticed. Well, the woman that's working for me currently, of course, essentially working for my wife, if you know what I mean. No, my wife and her, they gist a bit. And there's something we notice, very common. I told you something before, poverty is not the amount of money you have or you don't have. Poverty is first and foremost an attitude towards life. Did you hear what I said? First and foremost, poverty is what? An attitude. That's what it is. I don't have, I am poor, is first and foremost an attitude. And when I observe some things, I told my wife, you see, this is what they call poverty. It's very common amongst those people. They are working for you, whatever amount you're paying. And then one day, halfway through the month, now get my point, most of those people work and babysit, you understand? So that the people at home can go to work. Now, for me, my wife's own is easier. She doesn't have, she doesn't have to go to work in the morning. It's just to help the other two people who live with me. All right, one of them, my cousin, and another young lady. It's just so that the work is not much because they have to go to school. All right? So just ease everybody's work. You know, wash clothes when they are not around and babysit. That's all. All right? Now, what I'm trying to say is that most times, the people have a lifestyle that will be affected if you don't show up for work. That is, the woman, maybe the man is going to work, and the woman is going to work. And you're supposed to come to the house, they expect you, you babysit while the woman is gone. If you don't show up, she can't leave for that day. Do you know with all of this, all right? A lot of these people will come to work one day, on Monday, knowing that they are not planning to come back on Tuesday. As soon as you pay them, they disappear. So, different people have given different people counsel. In fact, Chike will tell, one of the first counsels given to him when he started business was, please, don't pay your staff on time. Make sure you owe them like a month or two salary. And you know their reason? The people who give that counsel, they said because That's the way you will get them to stay. Now, that, of course, that's a wrong attitude to have. But then, what I want to bring out is actually what they are saying. A lot of people who work for other people, they just disappear one day. I've told that Christianity is not the name you call yourself or the church you go to. It's how you behave. That is a satanic way of behaving. The least you can do for your boss is give him at least 1 month's notice. Let him find a replacement to take over the seat. Poverty, that's what I'm talking about. I told my wife, I said, you see these people? I mean, our neighbor, maybe like two or three people have worked there recently. Somebody will just wake up one day and disappear. And this woman will confide in my wife that the other woman went somewhere else where the pay is better. Do you understand the point? They just say, this person is going to pay me more. And you, now, should you die here? No, I don't think so. I think you should leave if you want to leave, right? But give notice. Madam, please, at the end of this month, I don't think I'll be working for you anymore. I would like to go and work somewhere else. It's simple. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this, saying all of this. I was talking about how God calls people. Now, let me first finish that, my conclusion of that story. The point I was making there is simple. And that's the fact that, look, a lot of people who are poor, all right, that is what is actually called poverty. I don't know whether I get the point. That is real poverty. It's not the fact that you don't have money. That's an attitude of what? Poverty. Now, please, I hope you're following me. What I'm saying, does it make sense to you? I'm talking about God calling people. That's why I started about all of these things. How does God call a believer under such circumstances? He'll tell you, listen, this is the right thing to do. He doesn't have to wake up and say, my son, that shall not leave, that shall not leave. Some of you think, we are waiting for that. Which job do I take? No, if God says, I won't answer you yet. There are certain principles you have not yet obeyed. You want to walk out and you want me to tell you where to go? No, I won't do that. So you will pray, God, show me, should I take this one, this one? God said, no, the first answer is that should you leave without giving notice? Because if you listen to what it was on air, that was on yesterday on radio, I talked about the fact that, it's a message I preached sometime last year, on Open My Eyes, Oh God, that a lot of things we are looking for is actually around. It's actually around. Let me give you an example. Personally, I've learned that Kingdom World Ministries, if we need money to do something, the first thing I do before I even pray, say, God, I think we need money. I first sit down and go through our account books properly. You know, part of the thing I'm trying to do, sometimes we have money, we don't know we have it. By the time you finish, just find out, is it money we want to pay? Huh? Our balance is good enough to take care of that. Do you follow my point? And I said that in that broadcast. I said, look, this is a problem a lot of times. People are not even looking to know what God really has given to them. Do you follow my point? Now, in the same manner, sometimes we are asking God, lead me, lead me, lead me. And God says, wait. If you just do that which is right, you will find direction. I don't know whether you get the point. Like now, okay, I have 4 options. God, which one do I choose? God says, look at this guy. He doesn't even understand yet whether I want him to choose anything. Maybe you walk up to your boss because now you've heard me say something like this. Somebody has preached this message to you. You now say, the boss now says that. You now say, sir, please, I will be resigning. I would like to resign my appointment with you because I want to go somewhere else. Maybe that's where God kept your answer. So, effective, I'm giving you 1 month's notice, end of this month. All right? So the man says simply, maybe, where are you going? And because you've started it, you have to talk to him. That may be the one that says, this company wants to hire you. Just know the last pay I'm giving you here is the last you will ever get. Because they don't pay. And it's not running anybody down. And it says, the other one, you're thinking of, don't worry. With this global crisis, I have heard they are closing by next week. You are getting what I'm saying? That may be it. Or simply, you go there and say, 1 month's notice I'll be giving you, sir. All right, the man said, no problem. Now, a lot of people say that he won't pay me my salary. Listen, it's still the right thing to do. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? You may find out that in the second week, after you made up your mind to leave, another option now comes up. And that you just know this is the very one. Out of the 4, I had 4 before. Are you getting my point? Now, there's this other one that I added to it. And I just find out that this is the very one I'm supposed to take. And all the while, you say, God didn't speak to me. I've said it before. Look, brethren, stop waiting for God to speak to you. I have discovered that my gospel is not very popular. Do you know very popular? Yes, there are a lot of things I say. That's not what most preachers preach. So if I've said this before and somebody told me to my face, I don't agree with you. I said, in my mind, that's your personal problem. What I mean is that, they say that when you pray, God will speak. I say he doesn't usually do that. They say, Bible says, call upon me and I will answer. What he means is that if you are hungry, shout, I will send food. He didn't say I will start discussing with you the principles of hunger. What it means when he says I will answer you is that when you are hungry, what do? I send food. Call upon me in the time of trouble, I will deliver you. That's what it means by answering. It doesn't mean that you say, dear Lord, you say, here am I, my son. It does. You have tried it before. He hasn't. Most of those ones, when God spoke to me and God spoke to me, I've heard so many God spoke to me. The man is just acting out what his heart wants to do. But so that it's to make it look very spiritual, I say, this is what God told me to do. What am I saying? God leads people. Do you understand my point? He does. But most of the times, when he's calling, I know I've digressed quite a bit and I know where I started from. He doesn't have to shout, you know, by mouth, Uche, come. No. He wants to lead you to the place of your calling. He just starts giving you options, you know. There might be 10 crucial decisions, 10 points of crucial decisions you will have to make between where you are now and where God wants you to be. And he won't utter a word to you throughout that period. Do you know why? He says, I have taught you enough. If you always do what is right, when you have to make those decisions, you will find yourself in the place I called you to be. Are you getting my point? I said all of this, but I'm going to say that how did God call Joseph? God didn't have to. He didn't have to talk to him. That's what I'm saying. All Joseph needed to do was what? Do the right thing under every circumstance. When there was a problem, his brothers were misbehaving. People say, why should he tell? The right thing to do is to tell. How can your brothers be wrecking your father's company? And you say you don't want to offend them. You don't tell your father. I don't know whether you get the point. Your father is running Uche and Sons Enterprises. You are son number 11. All your elder brothers, weekend, when your father is not looking, they've taken company money and they've gone to London for the weekend. Because your father is supposedly very rich. And they are heading vital arms of the company. You are the little boy that God, your father just sent to the company to go and learn some accounting and learn some principles of management. Then the morning you see the book, your brother signed up 500,000 naira last week. And next thing you see, or you see bill from travel agency. Then next thing you hear that their friend was wedding in London. Three of them gathered your father's company money. And somebody said, don't tell. You know, you shouldn't be a tale-bearer. Aren't rubbish. God said, if somebody comes to entice you secretly to go and worship another God, go openly and go and tell. You're getting my principle. Sometimes we have principles that we don't know where we learn them from. The fact is that, yes, you should talk. And Joseph did that. I'm talking about the fact that he did the right thing. What did that generate for him? Enmity. People disliked him. Don't mind him. Idiot. His brothers hated him. But listen, that was the first step towards his destiny. I hope you understand that. Then he dreamt a dream. And you know the rest of the story. One day he found himself in Egypt. Did he beg to go to Egypt? No. What brought him to Egypt was the fact that people didn't like him. At least one person was kind towards him. Judah didn't want them to kill him. That's how he landed in Egypt. He said, let us kill him. He said, no, let's throw him into this pit. He was hoping to come and save him when they would have all gone. But then while he was not around, they found traders passing and they sold him as a slave. The Bible says clearly, it was God that sent a man ahead of them. Do you understand my point? How did he, when he got to Potiphar's house, there's another right thing to do. You can be in a particular situation in life and all you do is mumble and complain. After all, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Life has not been fair to me. What am I doing in this country? All my brothers are abroad. So you have a job. Instead of it doing very well, what are you doing every time? You are complaining about the fact that you were supposed to be abroad also, but right now you are not there. I know the one that annoyed you the most. Let me tell you, your mother was pregnant when she and your father came back to Nigeria. Those days, your elder brother was born in London. Your sister was born in London. Then 3 months before they delivered you, they decided to relocate. And you are still angry. You are still angry to tomorrow. When you were in school, that's why you didn't pass when you were in school. Because every time you were angry, I'm supposed to be a British citizen. After I was conceived in London. After all, if life started at the point of conception, I'm a Christian, I don't believe in abortion. Because life started at the point of conception. Therefore, since I was conceived in London, I'm supposed to be a British citizen. And the Home Office says that we don't understand conception. We're not there. It's only delivery that we know. When they born you, it's Aleko. Go there now. You are getting what I'm saying? For that reason, the person is there grumbling and complaining. But Joseph didn't do that. When he found himself as a slave, he was so, oh God, get my point. The guy has Joseph had a very good spirit. What I believe, all right, is that the guy's spirit was so exuberant and so excellent that people couldn't help liking him.
It was that likeness that was inside him. Forget the fact that he's handsome and Potiphar's wife. I don't believe that was the main thing. The main thing was the spirit the young man had. And that was what Mrs. Potiphar misinterpreted as just the guy is just handsome. You are getting my point? And then the point came in which, again, here. Do you know God never told him, my son, thou shalt go to Egypt. Thou shalt become ruler. Thou shalt save the world. Did God ever tell him that? No. What just happened in Mr. Potiphar's house or Chief Potiphar's house? He had an encounter with Mrs. Potiphar, which we all know. And then what did he do again? The right thing. I told you there may be 10 steps between where you are now, all right, and where you are supposed to be, your destiny, your calling in life. And God says those 10 steps are points in which you have to make crucial decisions, and I'm not going to say anything more than you have heard during preaching, more than what you have read in your Bible, more than what you have heard in church, more than what your father told you, more than what your friends who are godly told you. You know the right thing. Operate by them every single step of the way, and you will discover where you're supposed to be in life. So when Mrs. Potiphar's case happened, what did he do? Again, he did the right thing. And that brought forth blessing upon him. Hallelujah. You know he didn't. It did not bring any blessing. I like the way my pastor in Lagos would say, Pastor Podjo. He said that, what is the will of God? He said, do the right thing and the consequence is the will of God. That is, am I supposed to go to jail? Let's not worry about that. Let us do the right thing. Mrs. Potiphar is making advances. What do we do? Now, we have done the right thing. We have run away. Where did we find ourselves? Jail. That is the will of God. Are you following my point? Now, notice it. Notice all of these things. One, enmity in his father's house. He was sold into slavery. Nobody has his consent. But he had a choice to make when he was in Potiphar's house, either to be angry or be grateful to God in all things. The Bible said, in everything, give thanks. Because that is the will of God concerning you. Are you getting my point? In everything, do what? Give thanks. It is the will of God concerning you. After that, he landed in prison. Again, the thankful attitude, the strong spirit that he had, kept him, brought him again from being just one of the many prisoners there to being the one on top. There was something somebody said to me long ago. He said that Joseph was not the only person who was wrongly imprisoned. You know that? He couldn't have been. He could not have been. There were many other people who were wrongly imprisoned. And in life, you may one day be wrongly imprisoned. You may not be in physical jail. You may have wrongly lost your job. I have a friend, that's how he lost his job. He was going in a bank. Money got missing. He didn't steal the money. He didn't steal the money. He didn't even know when money got missing. But he sacked everybody in his unit. And that included him. That's being in prison unjustly. They didn't ask, were you there? I heard that one day. I think Glow, Eastern Nigeria, they were not doing very well. And you know the Baba who runs Glow, just appeared one day, sacked everybody in the marketing unit. Everybody who was in the marketing department lost his job. Including those who were performing very well. There are times in life you'll be in jail unjustly. But this is the point we are making. The man wasn't there grumbling and complaining. What did he do? He gave thanks again and then allowed his spirit. I preached a message, go and listen to it, titled Quench Not the Spirit. The guy had a good spirit. Believers generally have good spirit. What we do is that we quench the spirit. Do you get the point? The man refused to quench the spirit because he had a triumphant spirit. Therefore, automatically, he had to come out again on top. And then, again, he did that which was right. He was so diligent. His spirit was so expressive. He became the head of the prisoners. That guy was just supposed to be a head. Everywhere he went, even as a slave, he became a head of the slaves. He went to prison, he became the head of the prisoners. And God, see, you know when he was being tested? He was being tested concerning his headship as a slave and as a prisoner. The only training he had for becoming the ruler of a nation was first as a slave and second as a prisoner. Do you get the point? Let me tell you the truth. If you need an MBA from Harvard, from that, before you do well in life, you've made up your mind, you are going to always beg for jobs. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. If your career in life is that you want to do this, do that, and you are not planning for any other thing more than just acquire certificates, that means you are telling me your whole plan is apply for job. Listen, that's what I always say to believers. Excellence is better than paper. Listen, I'm not saying certificate is not bad, it's not good. of course, I can't be saying that. I have certificates. I'm even worrying my wife. Say, go back to school and go and gather more certificates. She's not even planning to look for a job. You should become excellent in whatever you are doing. Are you getting my point? But I'm going to emphasize the fact that, more importantly, when you are trying to do that, okay, realize that the excellence with which you do what you are doing now is more important than the paper you carry. All the training that Joseph had, listen, all the training that Joseph had to become prime minister, he had first as a slave, second as a slave that was in prison. He never went to the courts of Pharaoh to go and learn the principles of leadership in Egypt. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Now, so the man was there working again. The point I'm not making of this is that how did God call him into Egypt? He gave him many points in life and said, do the right things under every situation. Every time he had to make a decision, he had to make the right ones. And if you would do the same thing, you would discover your calling. I said something before, let me say it again. The gift, your abilities, the gift that God placed inside is different from your calling. Did I explain that before? If I didn't, let me say it now. The gift or abilities is that which you know how to do. All right? Let me use myself as an example. Maybe you say, okay, Pastor Banky teaches. He can teach. That's all you know. Who is called to teach? Where he is called to teach, the who is called to teach, and what is going to teach, the who is called to teach, where he's supposed to teach them, there are questions that you cannot tell. You cannot give an answer to. All you just know is that talk is abi. That's what a gift is. A calling, however, is when you hear testimony of people like Kenneth Hagin say, God spoke to him, go and teach my people faith. That's different from being able to teach. This is now being given a specific assignment concerning what to go and do. And that is one I discovered. That people usually discover it later. They hardly know it ahead of time. I don't know. Did you hear me? Most of the times you will discover your calling. You hardly have an intellectual knowledge. Let's go back to Joseph. Joseph, nobody ever told him, you will be a slave and then you become prime minister in Egypt. No. The day he became prime minister, it was a command. Now, get my point. It was an instruction. Pharaoh said, you will be the prime minister. In summary. Nobody said, do you mind joining PDP? We will sponsor your campaign. No. They said there was a problem. Because he helped a man solve problem previous times. The man now remembered that while I was in jail 2 years ago, there was a young man who interpreted a dream that nobody else understood. Pharaoh said, now that I have dreamt my dream, I need interpretation. That was when this man said it. Alright? So what do we do? Let's go and look for that man. And when he came and gave Pharaoh the interpretation, and then not only the interpretation to the dream, but the solution to the interpretation to the dream, he now said to Pharaoh, he said, let Pharaoh find a man to do this. So Pharaoh says, so okay, who is it? This man who could interpret ordinary dream that will now put in charge? He said, can we find one as wise and as discreet or as discerning as this one? I like the way a modern translation will put it. The old Bible says that sin that in him dwelt the spirit of God. Actually, what Pharaoh said is that sin that in him dwelt the spirit of the gods. He didn't know the God of Israel. That the kind of spirit this man carries is not to be found in the natural realm. That's what Pharaoh said. He now commanded him concerning what to do. Go and effect everything you told me and do exactly as you have advised. Listen, it was when the famine began that Joseph understood why he was born. I don't know whether you understand the point. While he was in prison, it was still confusion. Listen, as a believer, that's why when I was in school, when we were learning the rudiments of the word of faith, they told us that God always speaks to his people. If you pray, God will show you what is going to happen. You know, I stopped believing such things long ago. I stopped believing it long ago. If he desires to show it, fine. All right, go ahead. But to make it a matter of rule that's how you operate, I stopped believing it long ago. I believe in what Oswald Chambers calls the cult of the passing moment. That is, I understand that every moment of my life is filled with God. Like, if you heard me on radio about 2 weeks ago, I said that God wants to fill all things in all. I said there is a name he bears under every circumstance. That there's a name he bears in the midst of failure. There's a name he bears in the midst of success. There's a name he bears concerning you in the midst of your adversity. What I need to do is learn the name of God over and under every circumstance that I'm in. And one thing I know for sure is that I will get to where he intends for me to get to. I don't have to know it ahead of time. It was when his brothers came to him that Joseph realized something.